And it's now time for our Bible reading. And it's in Genesis chapter 22, which can be found on page 19 of the Bibles in front of you. So Genesis chapter 22. So starting to read from verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both went together, both of them. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. And we're picking up in the same bit of Genesis, so chapter 22. So sorry if you closed your Bibles. So page 19, chapter 22, and starting from verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now after these things, it was told to Abraham, "Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Uz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel his father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jilflaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel fathered Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Moreover, his concubine, whose name was Rimmu, bore Teba, Geham, Tahash, and Makkah."
Ruth, thank you very much for reading for us. Please do make sure you've got sight there of Genesis 22, and you'll also want sight of the handouts. If you don't have one of these, you might want to grab one. One of these and a pen or pencil will be especially useful as we go through. But let me lead us in a short prayer as we begin. Father God, thank you that you speak. Please help us to listen. And please help us to respond rightly in ways that bring glory to your name, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if sometimes we think the Christian life is a little bit like this.
Step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in. and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no, no!
You can find them on YouTube and listen to the sound if you want. Is that sometimes what we think it's like? We know we're to trust God. We know what he says in his word. But if we're honest, we think, well, sometimes he's going to let us down. He won't be there when we need him. And it's precisely this issue Abraham faces in our true Bible story today. Abraham's now over 100 years old. He's just sent one son away, and now he's left with just Isaac. One son, the son on whom all of God's blessing and promises rest. And do you remember, what does God say to Abraham? Do you see down in verse 1? After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. It is crazy, isn't it? It's outrageous. And it brings us to the big problem in our passage, verses 1 to 8. Now, here's the big problem. The son has to die. We know the good news about Jesus is true, but how do we respond when life gets hard? It's not supposed to be this way, we say. Well, could anything be more unexpected, more out of the blue than what God says to Abraham? It's not supposed to be this way, Abraham could say. Look, God, this isn't how I pictured things turning out. It's not even how you said things would turn out. But in all of this, I want us to see God is utterly dependable. He's got it all covered. Whatever our fears, our insecurities, we can look to Jesus with a rock-solid comfort and reassurance and know God will provide. And so God asks Abraham to offer up what is most valuable to him. So just think for a moment. We'll just pause. All ages, think what is most valuable to you. So just think. Everyone think of something. What is most valuable to you? Maybe you got something. I guess for most of us, it's probably a family member, isn't it? Maybe there's just someone thinking about their favorite toy or their house or their car. We're not going to ask you to put your hand up. For Abraham, though, it's even more serious. It is Isaac. Do you see? His only son, the son whom he loves, the son on whom all God's promises and blessings rest. It is super serious. And now I called it a problem, but really it's a test. Did you see that verse 1? It's a problem for Abraham. It's not a problem for God. No, the issue is, how is Abraham going to respond? And to help us, we're going to play a quick game called Pentateuch Poker. There's half of it. Pentateuch Poker. There's the rest of it. Excellent. Okay, so a quick game. This is where you need your handouts for. We're going to think, how much to wager? Do you hedge your bets or do you go all in? So how confident are you? Everyone starts on 15 points. Do you see their first box? Everyone with me? If you look on the handout, it makes more sense. 15 points. Okay, you can wager all of your points or none of your points. Okay, three challenges. You win the points you wager. You lose the points you wager if you get it wrong. Is that clear, the rules? We're kind of some people. It's too early in the day for maths. We're okay. Okay. If you want to form a little team, you can form a team if that helps. So let's go. First of all, heads or tails. Okay. Decide how many points to wager. How many points you're going to wager. And you've got to call it heads or tails. Okay. Everyone clear? You got the handout? How many points? 0 or 15. That's what you can start with. 0 or 15. Heads or tails. Heads or tails. You've got to call it heads or tails, and how many points are you going to wager? Anyone still unclear on the rules? You're still unclear. You can wager 0 points up to 15 points. Anywhere in between, whole numbers only, Craig. Whole numbers only. If you get it right, call it heads or tails, you win the points you wager. If you get it wrong, you lose the points you wager. You start on 15 points. Anyone else other than Craig? I really didn't think this was going to be a long game. Anyway, short, quick game to illustrate the point. No, okay. There we go. If you're losing it, this is just to show how confident Abraham is in God's promises, just in case we're losing the thread. Okay, everyone got heads or tails, made a decision? Okay, it is tails. Okay, if you went for tails, you win the points. If you went for heads, you lose the points. Okay, second challenge. What's inside the box? I'll give you choices. What's inside the box? Apple, orange, banana, or nothing? Apple, orange, banana, or nothing? Apple, orange, banana, I think. If you are my children, I've changed what I said it was going to be from this morning. Just so you don't accuse me of lying later. Apple, orange, banana, or nothing. Wager the points. Choose your answer. Craig, you're still with us? Great. Okay. Everyone got one? Everyone chosen one? Lock it in. No cheating. I'll be able to tell. Apple, orange, banana, or nothing. Apple. Okay. Apple. There we go. Okay, final one. Okay, decide how many points to wager. How many marbles in the bag? How many, between 1 and 10? The odds are getting shorter, okay? 1 to 10 marbles are in here. 1 to 10 marbles. How many do you think are in there? Whole number's only 1 to 10 marbles. Decide how many points to wager. You can wager all of your points. Some of you may be up to 60 points already, I think, if you've gone all in and got it right both times. Some people looking smug. Okay, 1 to 10. How many marbles? Everyone chosen a number? Have you chosen how many points to wager? Oh, six is close. Six, you got it? You can't keep changing.
Six.
Seven. Oh! Okay. Anyone, I forgot to say there's a prize. Anyone get more than 60 points? Anyone get more than 60 points? Anyone get more than 50 points? 40? 30? No, my own children don't count. You got 30, any? Okay, any takes on 30? How many at the back? 42. Anyone beating 42? I think it's it. Come and grab your prize. Well done. Round of applause. You can give it. Brilliant. Well done. Well done. Quick game, obviously. Back to Genesis 22. Did you notice how confident Abraham is? Abraham goes all in, doesn't he? He wagers everything. It's interesting what we're not told. We don't know how Abraham feels. We don't know how he explains this to Sarah. Isaac and me, we're just going on a father-son bonding trip for the weekend. It's all right if we borrow the donkey, isn't it? No. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both of them went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. See, even when faced with problems, we can obediently keep trusting God like Abraham. Did you notice Abraham even trusts God to bring Isaac back from the dead? Verse 5, he says they'll both return. He is so confident in God, he knows God can even work a resurrection. Abraham's some example, isn't he? Faced with possibly the hardest command anyone can ever hear, he responds with immediate obedience. He even gets up early the next day. But what liberates Abraham to respond like this? What means he can obey God like this? Well, is it not that he trusts God to do the humanly impossible? He trusts God can give life even to the dead, and therefore he obeys him. You see, Abraham can go all in. Abraham can bet the house, really can bet the sun, as it were, because God is the one who provides. He's got it covered. And we're going to think about that a bit more after our next song. But we're going to sing first, so please stand. And when Craig's ready, we'll sing together. Let's stand. Well, I wonder if, as Genesis 22 was being read, you were gripped by the story. It's certainly an engaging story, isn't it? But so what? What is the cash value for us at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning? Or when we're facing another sleepless night? Or when we're really struggling at school and we're finding life tough? Well, although the Lord testing Abraham, verse 1, is a big theme, the ultimate focus is on the Lord who provides. Did you notice how it comes up again and again in our passage? You see verse 8, verse 14, the Lord will provide, or literally the Lord will see. We use that expression, don't we, that someone will see to it. They've got it covered. They both know what to do. They can see the problem and the solution. And they'll see to it. They've got both the desire and the ability to sort it out. And so we turn from the problem to the solution. The Lord provides a substitute. The storm breaks and the solution arrives. Just look how this true Bible story continues. Verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. The tensions couldn't be higher, could they? But just look what happens next. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. You see, the one true God of the Bible, he's not suddenly flipped and become a God who demands child sacrifice. No, what he wants is a people who trust him. And specifically, who trust him to give life even to the dead. Who trust him when life is tough. Who trust him to provide. We discover the big idea of this chapter. God sees. God will provide. But also in his provision, we see what God is like. Do you see, it's all about a substitute, a kind of swap. At the heart of God's character is selfless, sacrificial substitution. So again, they're kind of big words. Let me see if this helps. Caleb and Zach, I'm going to need your help. There we go. I have a very, very simple task for you. Here we go. Here's a box of chocolates. One box of chocolate is full of chocolates, okay? You get the box of chocolates if you don't eat them while I turn my back, okay? If you do eat one of the chocolates, you have the forfeit here of 100% genuine sheep eyes. Can we zoom in on those? Here, let's see how the cameras work. Can we see that? Oh, look at this. It's like magic. Just to prove they're real. There we go. There we go. 100% genuine sheep eyes. Okay, I'm just going to turn my back. Don't eat the chocolates, you get the chocolates. Do eat the chocolates, you have to take the sheep eyes, okay? I'm just going to turn my back, just going to look over here. Okay, there we go. I can look on the screen now. Oh, no. I hope, I'm obviously my boys are going to be obedient. They put. Oh, what's happened here? Should I just ask what's happened? Did either of my boys eat a chocolate? Yeah. Was it Caleb? Was it Zach? Oh, Zach, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to eat the 100% genuine sheep eyes. Okay? Unless, of course, I mean, it might just be that, you know, someone wants to step in and swap or do a substitution.
I'll take them.
What? You want? You're going to eat one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, there we go. Oh, that's gross. Oh, you might have to spit out some of that eye. In which case, I think you, Zach, Oh, there we go. You get those. Well done. Round of applause. You can keep the sheep eyes. We'll leave those ones there. That's grim. Well done. Well done. Thank you. What we need is a substitute, a swap. And here's how the Lord provides: by a substitute. I've lost some people, haven't I? I'll explain to you later what they are. I don't want to ruin the magic, no. The Lord provides. And it's part of who he is. Do you see, they're going to remember this place down the ages by this name. The thing that echoes down the generations is God has got this. He'll see to it. He'll provide by means of substitution. So can anyone think, you might just want to turn to the person next to you, can anyone think of any other places in the Bible where God provides, where a firstborn son has to die? Think of any other places in the Bible where a firstborn son has to die. Anyone think? I'm not going to pick on the rock solid. You're looking quite scared over there. Anyone think of any other times in the Bible where a firstborn son has to die? Anyone? You can put your hand up if you think you've got somewhere else. Yes, right at the back. Yes, that's right, thank you. The Passover, Exodus in Egypt. The firstborn son had to die. Any other places in the Bible where a son has to die? Yes. Jesus, yes, well done. Brilliant, thank you very much, well done. Yes. You see, this is a pattern rippling down the ages through the Bible until we get to Jesus. For family devotions, Martin Luther, he was a famous reformer in the church, once read this passage. And his wife, Katie, said, I don't believe it. God would never have treated his son like that. But Katie, Martin replied, he did. And the more we look at Genesis 22, the more we can see how it points to Jesus. So maybe this will help. See, can you spot how many times we get that phrase, burnt offering? 6 times it comes. It's a word, a phrase for when the whole animal is burnt up. An animal that had to be spotless and pure because it was paying the price for sin, for our rebellion against God. Later on in the Bible, we find out Moriah, the mountain of Moriah, is the same location as the temple where sacrifices for sin take place, where lambs are killed in the place of sinners. Even little details point us to Jesus. Did you notice verse 6? Isaac carries the wood he's going to die on to the place of execution, just like Jesus would do all those years later. We could go on. It's after 3 days Abraham receives Isaac back from the dead, figuratively as it were. And so both Isaac and the ram, they merge in their fulfillment as Jesus, the beloved Son, the only Son of God, dies a sacrificial death on the cross in the place of, as a substitute for, sinners like me and you. And therefore, we have everything we need in and through the death of Jesus on the cross. I wonder if we believe that. At the end of verse 14, do you see, Dan? It's a great little saying, isn't it? We might tweak it. On the mount of the Lord, it has been provided. Doesn't mean God's going to give us everything we might want in life. It does mean, though, through Jesus, God gives us everything we need to know him, to serve him. In short, he gives us life. So again, just look at the screen. On the screen, we'll see a few things there. Again, turn to the person next to you. You've got to decide, what do you think is essential and what is a luxury? You may agree or disagree with the person sitting next to you. What is essential and what is a luxury? It's interesting where Jono will put coffee. Jono, is coffee essential? Jono thinks coffee's essential. Burgers maybe they're essential. Okay, I can hear robust debate going on. Okay. The great thing is we don't need to have complete consensus. Well, we know, don't we? We need food and water and air and clothing and so on. But what we need, what we truly need, is found only at the cross. You see, in Jesus we have forgiveness, eternal life, relationship, love, adoption, security, comfort, identity, worth, status, acceptance. on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Just think about it. If we didn't have anything else, family, food, friends, but still have Jesus, we do actually have everything we need. You see, we've all rejected God. We deserve his just judgment. It couldn't be more serious. And yet God provides. He'll see to it as Jesus dies in our place. God the Father offers up what is most valuable to him. He gives his son, his only son, Jesus, the one whom he loves, as a sacrifice, a swap. So let's praise God for Jesus. Praise Jesus for being a willing sacrificial substitute. He dies in our place so we might go free. But then knowing God provides means we, like Abraham, can go all in on God's promises. And knowing God's got it covered in Jesus means we can trust God and obey him even in costly obedience. Even when God asks Abraham to do the hardest thing, the most costly thing, he can do it knowing God will see to it. We have a God who provides, who gives life even to the dead. Now, as we close, we can be absolutely clear. God will never ask us to kill our children. This was a one-off test for Abraham. God always knew the outcome. But like Abraham, because we have everything in and through Jesus' death, we're freed to follow him, whatever the cost. There's nothing too much, too hard, too costly, too time-consuming in our obedience of God. And we can serve him. We can go all in on obeying him because we know the Lord provides. Provided all we need in and through Jesus, through his sacrifice in our place. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank and praise you that you are the Lord who provides. Thank you that you are the one who brings life even to the dead. And you have done it all through a substitution, through a swap, as Jesus dies on the cross as a willing sacrifice in our place. Please help us to trust in Jesus, to receive that swap for ourselves, and then to respond with unconditional obedience, joyful obedience, knowing that you provide all we need in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.